But good morning. Do sit. It's a bit cold in here. Is it just my imagination? I don't know if we can fiddle with any controls or whatever, but if you see me in a jumper, you know it's cold, okay? Sarah and her team are going out on the doors a little bit later on, so I want to pray for them. I want to pray that God will speak to us as we look at his word this morning. This is a great passage we're going to look at this morning. It's encouraged me this week. I trust that my encouragement overflows as we look at this passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Do open it, please. It's page 1161. It'd be very helpful if you've got it open in front of you, because I want to refer to a couple of verses around this passage as well. So if you have it open, that's easier from my point of view as we teach together this morning. So let's pray that we hear God speaking to us. Let's do that now. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the way that it speaks into our lives in such relevant and powerful ways. And we pray now that by your Spirit, we will hear you speaking to us. We pray that you would encourage us, Father, as the followers of Jesus Christ. You know the kind of week that we've had. It's been different for all of us. And yet we're here this morning because we love you. We're here this morning because we want to follow Jesus. And we pray that we would hear you speaking to us. Pray for Sarah and her team as they head out into our community after this service. Give them really good, fruitful conversations, we pray. And thank you for what we've seen about Cape and Ray. Thank you for the children that have gone, for those who've received Christ. Thank you for Diane and Martin and Carol, Lord, who've given up time to help and to lead. Thank you so much for what you're doing. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, just imagine for a moment that we could rewrite the past. Imagine for a moment if we could go back and we could rectify some of those mistakes and some of those failures that haunt us. Just imagine if we could go back and we could make wiser and better decisions that would have led to a much more fruitful outcome. What if? When did you ever think like that? Or is it just me? Do you sometimes think, if I hadn't lost my temper on that occasion, if I'd only made better decisions, if I hadn't made such a foolish choice, if only I'd listened to the advice of other people, if only, and maybe you can add something else into that list this morning. If only I could turn the clock back. If only I could have that moment over again. But we know, don't we, that we can't turn the clock back, much as we might like to rewrite the past. That's why some of these films that are on the screen here, Back to the Future, Doctor Who series, Time Traveler's Wife, About Time, there are lots of movies that have been made about people moving backwards and forwards in time, sometimes changing past decisions and actions, which mean that everything in the present and everything in the future can be so much better. Of course, it's just wishful thinking, isn't it? That's why films like this are so popular. That's why that kind of theme appeals to us. If only the past could have been just that little bit different. That kind of bittersweet feeling that hangs on to what might have been. And that brings us back to this series on the resurrection that we've been looking at on these Sunday mornings together. The kind of implications of the resurrection. 4 Sundays since Easter Sunday, thinking about the implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to just dip into John chapter 11, just for a moment this morning by way of introduction. You don't have to turn to it because some of what I want to say will be on the screen. But I want to bring you back to a conversation that Jesus had with Martha around the time when her brother Lazarus had just died. And Jesus delays coming to the situation and Martha's really upset. And as soon as she sees Jesus, here's Martha's if only. She says to Jesus, she says, if only you had been here, then my brother would not have died. If only. But the reply that Jesus gives to Martha is absolutely phenomenal in the context of this if only. What Jesus says to Martha is this. He points her to the future. And he says this to Martha. He says, your brother will rise again. And then Jesus does something absolutely staggering. He asks Martha to imagine what would happen if the future is suddenly brought forward into the present. And he makes this remarkable claim. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That conversation has really captured my imagination this week. And as many of you will know, Jesus goes on to raise Lazarus from the dead as a way of showing what will happen when the future bursts into the present. And we get a taste of it, we get a glimpse of it as resurrection comes to Lazarus. That's what Jesus did through his entire ministry, bringing bursts of the new creation into the here and now as we got glimpses of the new creation. And the resurrection of Lazarus points us forward to the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Lazarus was temporary. He died again. But when Jesus died and rose again, we begin to discover that new creation is for real. And that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's new creation project begins in the here and now. The Bible says to us, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is at work in those who believe. Wow! New creation is for real. New creation in the here and now. We've seen, haven't we, over recent Sunday mornings, what faith in the risen Jesus Christ means. We've seen how the resurrection shows us some really important things about Jesus Christ. It proves to us that he's Lord and Christ. It proves to us that death is not the end of the story. It proves to us, as we saw last Sunday morning, that the cross has worked. It's finished. The price has been paid. And as we're going to see this morning, it means that new creation has begun, that new creation is for real. Or as we discovered during our Easter morning celebrations a few weeks ago, that faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ rewrites our past. It deals with those if-only moments in our lives. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, as we're going to be reminded again this morning, brings total forgiveness. It literally rewrites the mistakes of our past. We've seen also, didn't we, on Easter Sunday morning, that the resurrection of Jesus Christ reshapes our future. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Death's not the end of the story. The other thing that we saw on Easter Sunday morning was that God begins to remake us in the present as we come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to concentrate on this morning. I want to encourage you this morning. Do you need some encouragement this morning? Good. Well, there's one person here this morning who needs some encouragement. Isn't that great? This is a most amazing passage that we're going to come and look at this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you this morning from this passage that new creation is at work in the here and now. So come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with me. And you'll see immediately in verse 17, this verse that many of us know really well, don't we? If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, yes. So what happens when we come to faith in Jesus Christ? And once again, I want you to notice what Paul does in this passage. He anchors everything that he's going to say to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here we are again, back to our foundation stone, back to the anchor point. Look at verse 15. And Jesus died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. There you are, resurrection. And here in these following verses, Paul wants us to see that new creation is for real. He wants to encourage us as the followers of Jesus Christ. He wants us to see that the key to it all is faith in Jesus Christ, just as it was for Martha as she stood alongside the grave of Lazarus. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings God's new world to birth. But it doesn't happen automatically, because the key to sharing in God's new creation is faith in Jesus Christ. That's what enables us to participate in new creation. So let me show you how new creation bursts into the here and now. Something of the power of the age to come bursts into our lives here and now, today, as we look at this passage together. There's some really exciting things going on here. Here's the first thing that happens. New creation begins to transform our vision. It begins to transform the way we see things. We begin to see things that we've never noticed before. We begin to see things that in the past have just they've just passed us by. We see things with a new clarity when we become Christians. We sometimes think, how did I never see that before? It's a bit like taking a trip to the opticians, isn't it? Some of you this morning got glasses. I've got glasses. I know what a trip to the opticians is like. And when you go to the opticians, the first thing they do is they take your glasses away from you if you're having an eye test. And if you're like me, you can see nothing. And they stick this chart up. Well, they tell you there's a chart on the wall. I can't see it, but they tell you there's a chart on the wall and you're supposed to read the letters on it. And then they sort of drop various lenses in front of your eye and suddenly you begin to see again. Suddenly you begin to see clearly. Sometimes if your prescription is out of date and you get a new prescription, you walk out with a new set of glasses and it's as if the world has come alive again. Everything's more vibrant. The colours are more beautiful. Things have come into a new clarity. That's what new creation does. It transforms our vision. That's what faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ does. In verses 16 and 17, Paul spells out what that new kind of eyesight looks like. He shows us that something of the power of the age to come has burst into the here and now, and when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, our vision is quite literally transformed. Let me show you what he says here. First of all, he says it changes the way we see Jesus, verse 16. What does he say? Though we once regarded Christ from a worldly point of view, we do so no longer. One of the very first questions that we explore on our Alpha course is, who is Jesus? Because the Christian faith is about faith in the person of Jesus Christ. It's about a relationship with the risen Christ, not about a list of rules and regulations. So we look at how Jesus was recorded in history. We look about what Jesus said about himself. We look for the evidence that supports it. And in particular, we look at the resurrection of Jesus. Because one of the implications of the resurrection is that it proves that Jesus is who he said he was. That he's not just a good man. That he's not just a great teacher. That he's not just some kind of prophet figure, but that he is who he claims to be. That he is God, who has stepped into the history of our broken and fallen world. New creation changes the way we see Jesus Christ. Before we became Christians, we couldn't see that. That's why when you ask many people today, what do they think about Jesus? They say, well, he's just a good man. Just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul says, well, we don't preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. And then he goes on to say, verse 4, he says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We know that. And then look what he says in verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, here's the original creation account in Genesis chapter 1, made his light to shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. See what happens? It's an echo of creation in Genesis chapter 1. We come to faith in Jesus Christ, and it literally changes the way we see Jesus. Second thing that Paul says in this passage is that it changes the world, the way we see the world in which we live. He talks about how we used to see things from a worldly point of view in verse 16. You see, faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes our worldview. It changes the way we see our world. We take this book, we take this Bible, and we read through the lens of the Bible into what's going on in our world. And what do we discover? Well, we get to see that history is not going round in circles. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus will return, not as a baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will wrap up world history as we know it. We hear about a day of accountability when God is going to put all the wrong things in this world right. We read about new creation. We read about a new heaven and a new earth. We read about new resurrection bodies. We read about how things will one day be. No more death or mourning or crying or pain, because the old order of things has passed away. And Paul wants us to see that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, It changes the way we see our world. We recognize that history is moving towards an end point when Christ will return. There's something else going on in this passage about our vision. Look at verse 17. It changes the way we see ourselves. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We've spent quite a lot of time here over the last couple of years or so thinking about what it means to be in Christ. I'm sure all of you heard about the experience of Archbishop Justin Welby and his father not being who he thought his father was. Did you hear how he answered that question? This is what he wrote. He says, "My own experience is typical of many people. To find that one's father is other than imagined is not unusual. To be the child of families with great difficulties in relationships with substance abuse or other matters is far too normal." And then he went on to say, he says, "My identity is not in my family. It's not in my genetics. It's in my relationship with Jesus Christ." You see? That's what new creation does. It changes the way we see ourselves. Because we see ourselves as in Christ. And we've unpacked that, haven't we, over recent weeks and months. I've said to you again and again, write that little phrase, "in Christ," somewhere where you can see it. I know at least one person in our church who has it on the front of their mobile phone. There where they open their phone, they see, "in Christ." What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, Ephesians chapter 1, if you want to have a look at it later today, you'll read what it means to be a new creation. In Christ, I am blessed, I'm chosen, I'm blameless, I'm adopted, I'm loved, I'm forgiven, I have a hope, I have a future, I have an inheritance, I have the Spirit of God living in me. Wow. See, new creation changes the way we see ourselves. We don't see ourselves through the lens of our past mistakes and failures. We don't see ourselves through our family relationships or our family roots. We see ourselves in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. A new creation changes the way we see other people. It has to, doesn't it? Because if it changes the way we see ourselves, it has to change the way we see other people. Paul confesses back in verse 16 that before his conversion to Christ, he saw other people from a worldly point of view. That's why he could persecute Christians. That's why he spent a portion of his life trying to eradicate the Christian church, because people were just a commodity. He didn't see it. But new creation changes the way we see other people. We begin to see other people as people for whom Christ died. It's what motivates us to head out in the doors in our second service. That's what motivates us to share our faith. I find this aspect of what Paul is saying here incredibly challenging. You see, that's what drove Christians like William Wilberforce and Lord Shaftesbury to change the society in which they live, to bring freedom to those who are in slavery, providing homes from the homeless. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. That changes the way we see other people. So when I go to the cash out at the supermarket, do I see the person who serves me as someone who is loved by Christ? As I walk along the pavement and as I rub shoulders with people during the week, do I see them as people who are loved by Christ, for whom Christ died? As I walk past a homeless person on the streets of London, do I see the dignity and the value that God places on them, because God loves us and died for us? When someone has a go at me verbally, do I strike out in self-defense, or do I treat them as someone who is created in the image of God? You see, new creation changes the way we see other people. So here's the first thing that Paul is saying in this passage here. The new creation completely transforms our vision. It changes the way we see Jesus, helps us to recognize who he is. It changes the way in which we see other people. It changes the way that we see ourselves. It changes the way that we see the world in which we live. But there's more going on in this passage, because the next thing you see in verses 18 to 20 is that new creation completely reorientates our lives. We are given an appointment in God's cabinet, is what Paul says here. Look at verse 20 with me. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Wow. Wow. Or as someone has put it rather cleverly, we are ambassadors wearing glasses. I love that. Isn't that really good? So the glasses that we put on, that we've been looking at, that transforms our vision. We see Jesus as he really is. We see the world in which we live through the lens of the Bible. We see ourselves in Christ. We see others who are valued and loved by God. Ambassadors wearing glasses. New creation transforms our vision, and this vision reorientates our lives around the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are his representatives. I think I'm probably right in saying that you will not find a portfolio entitled the Ministry of Reconciliation in David Cameron's government, or any other government in the world for that matter. But that's what God calls us to. That's what new creation brings, a desire to see God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, a desire to see people coming to faith in Jesus Christ, a desire to see more and more and more of those new creation glimpses as people come to faith in Jesus Christ. These verses take us straight back to the vision that God has given to us as a church, helping people follow Jesus. That's why we head out on the doors a little bit later on. That's why we run our Alpha courses. That's why we want to do all that we can to equip you to share your faith as naturally as possible. That's why Sarah's running that seminar on the 8th of May on Sunday night, to help us to share our faith through our own characters in the way that God has gifted us as naturally as possible. That's why we organize a service on June the 12th to celebrate the Queen, so that we can hear about her faith and invite other people to hear about it. We are ambassadors of the conquering king. And what is this new creation message that we're called to share? Well, let's just take a look at it very briefly. Verse 18, it's a message that comes from God. We need to notice that. All this comes from God, says Paul. This is not about us dreaming up some kind of wonderful message that we can share with those around us. This is God's message for God's world. And the second thing that Paul says in verse 19, he says, this message is a message of reconciliation. This is God reconciling himself, verse 19, to the world in Christ, not counting our sins against us. It is a message of grace and mercy. It is a message of that comes from God. God takes the initiative. He makes the first move. He steps into the history of our world. It is all about grace. We cannot earn our way into a relationship with God. It's by grace that you're saved. And this one wonderful Christian message addresses the problems of our world head on. It deals with the sin, and it deals with the guilt, and it deals with the rebellion that separates us from a holy God. You see, God's heartbeat is to reconcile this broken and fallen world to himself. New creation is for real. As we've been working our way through this passage this morning, I want to encourage you, to show you that if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Your vision has been transformed. That's one of the ways in which you know that you're in Christ. That's why this message encourages us this morning. It helps us to see Jesus for who he really is. It helps us to see the world in which we live as it really is. It helps us to see ourselves as we really are. It helps us to see other people around us through that lens of the love that God has for a broken and fallen world. And this message reorientates our lives. It should become our heartbeat. And the final thing that Paul says in this passage is that new creation secures our relationship with God forever. Romans chapter 5, verse 21 is the most magnificent verse, isn't it? It's sometimes referred to as the great exchange. What does it say? God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Read the second part of this verse with me. It's on the screen. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We need to let that sink in for a moment, don't we? Christ has died the death that we deserve. He dies as our substitute. He dies in our place. He dies so that we might receive total forgiveness. That's what justification is all about. That's what we savored as we looked at that series in Romans a little while ago. I don't know if you remember the definition of justification that we used during that series. We talked about the complete forgiveness of our sins and the permanent status as the children of God. By one sacrifice, God has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. A new creation secures our relationship with God forever. You see, my friends, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not just a doctrine. It's not even just about the future. It is about being in a relationship with the risen Christ in the here and now, through whom resurrection power is breaking into the world today. So how is this passage encouraging us this morning? Well, it tells us that new creation is for real. It transforms our vision. We get to see Jesus as he really is. God allows us by his Spirit to see things that we couldn't see before about Jesus. It transforms the way we see our world. Instead of being influenced by our newspapers and all the awful stories that we hear, horrible as they are, we take our Bibles and we read our world through the lens of the Bible and we get a different perspective. New creation transforms our vision about ourselves. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It transforms the way you see people around you this morning and the people you rub shoulders with during this week. It transforms our vision. It reorientates our lives. Paul says we have a most magnificent message to share with people around us. The message of reconciliation. A message that we don't make up. It's a message that comes from God. It's a message about grace and mercy and love. And finally, Paul says in this passage, new creation secures our relationship with God so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. So when God looks at you and God looks at me, he sees us through the lens of the cross and he sees us as if we had never sinned. If that doesn't encourage us this morning, I don't know what will. Back in verse 10, if you have the Bible open in front of you, Paul writes this, and the words are on the screen behind me. He says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, each day, each one receiving what is due to them for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. That includes all of us. That's what that word all means. But do you notice what he writes in verse 14? It's also on the screen behind me. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. So let me ask you as we conclude this morning, are you included in the all for whom Christ died? What a wonderful morning to reaffirm our faith in the risen Jesus Christ as we come to the end of this resurrection series. Or it may be that you're here this morning and you may have been around church circles for many years and yet you've never made this your own. New creation hasn't ever really started in your life. Paul goes on to write this in chapter 6 and verse 2. He says this, quoting from the Isaiah prophet in the Old Testament, in the time of my favor I heard you, speaking of God, and in the day of salvation I helped you. And Paul says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. New creation has already begun. Something of the power of the age to come has been brought forward into the present. And God is at work in his people today. If anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Let's pray, shall we? Father, what a magnificent passage to come to this morning. And what an amazing encouragement this is to all of us. To be reminded again of what it means to be in Christ. To be reminded that new creation is not something way out there in the future, but it's something which is happening in the here and now, because through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, something of the power of the age to come bursts into the here and now. Thank you so much for the glimpses and the experience that we have of it today. Lord, we pray that if our vision has become cloudy, we will clear it through the power of your word this morning. If we've lost that sense of the gospel message that you called us to share with people around us, Lord, anoint us again by your Spirit, we pray, so that this message in our hearts overflows to those around us. And Lord, give us great comfort this morning as the followers of Jesus, knowing that our relationship is secure, not because of anything that we can do, but because of what Christ has done for us. And if there's anyone in this room this morning who has not yet put their faith in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, Father, by your Spirit, make this the day of salvation, we pray. Now is the day of salvation. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.